Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, the reason they would be circumcised is because they thought they had to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. So there were people who taught that you have to keep the law of Moses and to be baptized or be circumcised in order to be saved. So Paul says, if a man is being circumcised in order to be saved, because that's something you got to do, then he says Christ profits you zero. In other words, you can't say, well, I'm trusting the Lord and my good works. You know, by going to church, am I trying to keep the Ten Commandments? My living right. See, Christ plus me living right is how a man gets saved. Then you don't understand the gospel. And Christ profits you nothing. God cannot save a man who is trying to save themselves by their good deeds. In verse 3, for I testify again to every person that is circumcised, or you're doing it for the purpose of saving yourself, he said that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, if you think, well, all I got to do is just, you know, don't tell no more lies. It's not just not telling lies. You can't commit one single sin. If you was to start today and never do another sin for the rest of your life, what are you going to do with the ones you've already done? You've already sinned. The reason you sin is because you are a sinner. You say, well, if I don't do any bad things, then that means I'm not bad. No, you don't get it. You do bad things because you are bad. You are a sinner. That is your nature. What you may not do outwardly, you still have sins inwardly. And the biggest sin is pride. I'm good enough to go to heaven by my good deeds. That's pride. That is a sin. To think you don't need a Savior, which God says you do, means you don't see yourself the way God says, means you are deceived. And people can't see that. So he makes the statement here in verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you, are justified by the law. In other words, you're trying to save yourself. You're seeking to be justified, made righteous by your works, by trying to keep the law. Ye are fallen from grace, or you have rejected salvation by grace because you want to be saved by your works. God says you can't be saved that way. Christ has become of no effect. He can't save anybody. It's impossible for God to save anybody who's trying to save themselves. And the way you know that people are trying to save themselves by their good works is take away their good works and see if they'll still think they're going. Where are you going to die? I'm going to heaven. How do you know? Well, because I'm doing the best I can. Okay, take away the best you can. Now you're going, no, you ain't going to make it. Okay, they're trusting their works. Christ alone is the only reason any man gets to heaven. So think of all the churches all across this world where people are meeting together and they think they're going to heaven because look how good I am. Look at what I'm doing. And it has nothing to do with your salvation. God will not save one person because of how he lives. No man goes to heaven because he goes to church and gives his money and he prays and all those good deeds. God has never saved any man because of what he hath done or what he promises that he's going to do. Take your Bible and look there in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. These are two of my favorite verses in the Bible. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved. Grace is unmerited. Means you don't deserve to be saved. By your good works, there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Your good works are not good enough. God says that our good works are as filthy rags. For by grace are you saved through faith. Saved means saved from hell. I've asked people, are you saved? Yes. Where are you going to die? I don't know. You can't be saved from hell and go to hell. You can't be saved from hell and go to hell. It's impossible. Being saved means you're saved from hell. That means if you're saved from hell, you can't go there. Some people say, well, I'm saved today, but I might go to hell tomorrow. No, then you don't understand it. The Bible says the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's the good news where God will save you today forever and will never cast you out and never lose you. So a man is not saved by his works. How do you know? Well, look at it. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of yourselves. It is the what? Gift of God. Look in verse 9. Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. I cannot stand here and say, I'm going to heaven because I'm better than you. I am a dirty, lousy, stinking, rotten sinner, and I ought to go to hell. I'm just like you. I am a sinner. But I'm saved. Because of what I've done? No. When my father-in-law explained to me that there's only one Savior, and that's Christ, and if I trust him, he will save me. I don't have to save me. I don't have to do anything. I didn't have to promise that I'll start going to church. I didn't have to promise God I was going to clean up my life. I didn't have to promise God I'm going to turn from all my sins. I didn't promise God I'm going to commit my life to Christ. I didn't ask Jesus to come into my heart or my lungs or my liver. I didn't ask nothing. I received something. I accepted him as my Savior. He saved me and gave me eternal life. Now, no man can get saved any other way. All saved people have to get saved exactly the same way. There's not two ways of salvation. It is not by works. It's not Christ and works. It's not by works alone. It's by Christ alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. There is no other way. There is no other salvation. And the only salvation that he has is eternal salvation. That's why you'll hear me make the statement, I believe in once saved, always saved. I believe in eternal security. And any person who doesn't understand the gospel. When you hear somebody say, that's a damnable doctrine, get away from them. If it's a church, a preacher, a missionary, an evangelist, have nothing to do with it. Why? Because they don't believe the book. This is good news for a man to hear. It's not good news for me to walk up to a person and say, you know, you go to heaven, you got to be good. That's the worst thing in the world to tell a man. Why? Because he can't. There's none good but God. There's only one good, and that's God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, not one. That's why he says, all have sinned and come short of the perfection of God. That's why we needed a Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I don't go to heaven because of bragging about how good I am. I'm a sinner. But I can tell you how good he is. He loves me. He loves you. He loves everybody in the world, and he offers salvation the same for everybody. It's free. It is a gift. The other question I want to bring to you, how do you know if you're trusting your works to keep your salvation? You see, some people say, well, you're saved by grace, but you keep your salvation by how you live. And if you don't live right, God will take it away from you. Or he'll cast you out. He'll lose you. And you can lose your salvation. Now remember, it's impossible for a man to save himself. It's impossible for a man, once he is saved, to lose his salvation. Impossible. No man that's ever been saved has ever been lost again. Now take your Bible and look in the book of John chapter 6. The Gospel of John and chapter 6. The questions that were asked in the Bible study were from honest, sincere people who sincerely wanted to know what the Bible has to say. And it's important for people to see exactly what the Bible does say. Now look there in John chapter 6 and verse 37. Some of you have seen these verses before, some of you haven't. If you don't have them underlined in your Bible, I would recommend underlining them in your Bible. Remember, the one that saves me is the one who keeps me saved. I was not saved because of what I did. I was saved because of what he did. He saves me, and the only way I can stay saved is if he keeps me saved. If I wasn't good enough to get saved, I'm not good enough to stay saved. I wasn't saved by my works. I am not kept saved by my works. In John chapter 6, look in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And this part of the verse, you ought to underline it. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, how do you know if you're trusting in your good works to keep you saved? Well, if you was to take away all of your good deeds, all of your good works, and you started substituting all your good works with all these bad works. I mean, you really got bad. Think of the most wicked thing you could do. And you did all those wicked things, those bad deeds, whatever they might be. Would you still be saved? You said, no, no. Well, okay. Why? Well, because it's just, you just can't do those bad things and still go to heaven. Then you still don't understand it. For by grace are you saved. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Unmerited. You didn't merit it. When you think that you're going there because you're doing all these good things, you still believe you're meriting it. You're deserving it. Look, I'm going because I'm doing these good deeds. And somebody else who don't do these good deeds don't deserve to go. But you do. You deserve it. They don't deserve it. Then you don't understand grace. Heaven is not a reward that God gives to people who deserve it. Nobody deserves salvation. Nobody deserves eternal life. Saved by grace means that you didn't do anything for it. God saved you because you trusted him. He's the one that said he will not, for any reason, ever cast you out. He can't cast you out. Look in verse 37 again. I will in no wise, for any reason, no purpose, cast you out. Look what he says in verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose how many? Nothing. He said, I will not cast you out. I will not lose you. So if he'll never cast me out, he'll never lose me, then where am I going to go when I die? I'm going to heaven whenever I die. And God says, you can know that you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. So when somebody says, well, you can't know that. Yes, you can know that. I know I have eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. It's not because I'm good. Because that's what the Bible teaches. That's why this news is worth telling everybody about. There's no tricks to it. There's no gimmicks to it. It's not lying to somebody. If I told you, you have to be good to go to heaven, when if that's true, then you won't really know if you're saved till you die. If I said you have to be good to go to heaven, then you're going to have to wait till you stand before the Lord to find out if your good was good enough. Was your good? Did it outweigh all the bad? And I'll have to admit, I used to think that when you die, God put the scales out there and put your bad works on this side and your good works on this side, and whichever outweighed the other determined which way you're going to go. So, of course, you've got to wait till you die to find out which outweighs what. So, of course, you can't say now you know where you're going when you die because you ain't dead yet. You still got some life to live. You got to find out if I'm going to be good enough to make it. Because I might do something wrong today or tomorrow or the next day, and so I've got to wait and find out. Well, that's fine if that's the way salvation is. But see, that's not salvation that God, that's not the plan of salvation that God made. The only way you can know that you're going to get there is if he gives it to you now and it's free and you can't do anything to lose it. Well, if you can't lose it, then you can know that you got it. You can know that you're going to make it. Otherwise, what do you have? If you have to wait till you die to find out if you made it, well, what do you have that the lost man or anybody else in the world has never heard about God? What do you have that they don't have? Nothing. You don't have anything to offer anybody except be good. And that's what all the religions of the world are. Simply a religious system that somebody made up of few little rules and regulations, and they vary in their rules and regulations, and that's why all the different churches conflict with everybody else. Well, if you just went by what God said, it's free, totally free. And you don't have to go to any church to go to heaven. You don't have to give one penny to go to heaven. And you don't have to do any good deeds to keep your salvation once you have it. Because once you have it, you cannot lose it. It is impossible for a man who's been saved to ever lose his salvation. Now, look there in verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that keeps the Ten Commandments and goes to Northside Baptist Church and pays 10% hath everlasting life. That's pretty good, eh? He didn't say that, did it? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me hath temporary life. See, doesn't it pay to read the Bible the way it really is? But I didn't, did I? I twisted it again. It doesn't say that. It says, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, hath, right now, hath what? Everlasting life. It means it lasts forever. You see, the gospel has to have two qualities. One, it has to be free or it's not the gospel. Two, it has to last forever or it's not the gospel. So anybody who adds works to it means it's not totally free, so that's not the gospel they're preaching. If they can lose their salvation, then it's not the gospel. Because the Bible says the good news is that God will justify a man by faith. Justify him, make him, declare him righteous because of what Christ did. Now, remember this. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, how many of your sins were in the future? All of them. Why? You weren't born yet. You hadn't done the first sin. But if Christ only died once and he died 2,000 years ago for you, that means he died for you before you were born. He paid for all of your sins before you ever committed them. Then is it true also that he could have already paid for the ones you're going to commit today and tomorrow and the next day until the day you die? He has already died on the cross and paid for all the sins that you will ever commit. So he paid for your sins. But that payment that he made 2,000 years ago is not put to your account till you believe he did it for you. So when you believe it, he puts that payment to your account and you have a payment. You have a payment for all of your sins, not part of them. Not all your sins up to the time you believe. Now I got to get another payment for the rest of them. No, no, no. There's only one payment that was ever made for everybody's sins once and for all. Christ died for the world. So when you accept the payment he made, you have a payment for all of your sins, past, present, and future. So the penalty of my sins, eternal separation from God in hell, has been totally paid for, and I never have to worry about it again. There's no sin in the past, no sin in the present, and no sin in the future that can ever condemn me to hell because those sins are all paid. You say, what if you do something wrong tomorrow? It's sin, but it's paid. What about next week? It's paid. What about if you sin right before you die? Is it a sin? Yeah, it's paid. What sin of mine has he not paid for? If they're all paid, the only way I can lose my salvation is if there's a sin that Christ hadn't died for, that there's a sin that he didn't pay for, but he paid for all my sins. Now, either you believe it or you don't believe it. If you don't believe he did it for all of my sins and you're going to try to save yourself by your good work, then that payment that he made is not put to your account. That payment he made is no effect unto you. Christ has become of no effect to anybody who's trying to save themselves. Think of how many people are religious today thinking that they're saved because they're helping him out. And so you've got to have Christ, but you better do your part too. No, I don't have to do anything. And I'm still saved and I'll go to heaven. Somebody asked me, said, do you mean to tell me you can go out here and do all these sins, bad things, and go to heaven? You trying to tell me that if I believe what you believe, I can live like the devil and still go to heaven? You know who is amazing to me? Those people who tell me how good you have to live to get to heaven aren't. All those people said, well, if you do this and this and this, you'll lose your salvation. They have. Because I ain't met anybody by their works that deserves to go to heaven, and neither have you. You say, yeah, but you don't know my dear old Aunt Susie. Is she perfect? Always been perfect? No. We're all sinners. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did for me. Now look there in John chapter 10 and verse 28. John 10, 28. This is on page 1129. And once in a while, I'll remember to give a page number. But verse 28 says, and I give unto them, what? Eternal life. Christ gives eternal life, and they shall, that means in the future, never perish. Now look up here. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, the moment you believe, he says in John 6:47, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, right now hath, everlasting life. He said, I've given them everlasting life, eternal life, and they shall, it means in the future, tomorrow, the next day, the next year, the next 10 years, whatever it is, shall never in the future, never perish. That means you can never go to hell. Never. If I cannot go to hell in the future, then where am I going? To heaven. John 3:16. Ever heard of it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Should not perish means you cannot perish. You cannot go to hell. Have everlasting life means you go to heaven. So when I say I know I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven when I die, it's because I've trusted Christ as my Savior and him only as my Savior. But if it's a partnership where Christ does his part and I do my part and I'm saved as long as I do my part, oh, I know he'll do his part, but if I do my part, well, wait a minute. What if you don't do your part? Okay, then you're lost, according to their own teaching. But the Bible doesn't say God will save you if you'll help him. He don't need your help. He doesn't need my help. He is totally capable of saving me, totally, 100% by himself. Because when the Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 3, he hath by himself purged our sin. He took care of the payment all by himself. Then he can save me all by himself. Because it says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now here in this verse, when he makes the statement, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nobody can pluck them out of my hand. I have a person say, yeah, but you can take yourself out. Why do you have to always add to the Bible? It says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Unless you sin again. Did it say that? It didn't say that. Why do you add to it? Oh, I want to hit him. See, you get mad? Yeah, I get mad. Is that a sin? Yeah, paid. If you're going to say, well, I believe the Bible, then believe it. But don't say you believe it and then twist it and change it and alter it and all the rest of it and try to mutilate it and say, God said, God didn't say that. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, let me show you a simple illustration. This is the Lord. And here's all these religious people. Most people think that you're saved because you realize the error of your ways. And I promise to do better. And I want to get saved. And so they run down to the front and pray through, hang on, let go and let God. And got a grip on God. Now I'm saved. And if you do something wrong, start slipping away, now you're lost. So now you got to get saved again. And then start doing something wrong, now you're lost. Got to get saved again. He said, boy, I got a good grip on God now. Boy, I know I'm going to go to heaven. Now. And then, lo and behold, there's some good-looking blonde bombshell walk by. And you hope some Mack truck don't hit you in the middle of some dirty thought. And you got to get saved again. That's not worth a quarter. Where are you going today? Well, I don't know if I'm here or here or somewhere in between. See, that's because, see, they're going to heaven depends upon how good they are. And the reason they keep slipping away and sliding away, backsliding. That's not a phrase that's used to Christians, that backslide and you lose your salvation. No. This is talking about a person who goes astray on their own. And now they're supposedly lost and have to get saved all over again. Now, let me show what the Bible says. God says, you're a sinner, and this is the Lord. The Lord says that if you will trust him, he will save you. Ah, now who got who? He got me. He said he will save me and take me to heaven. I'm not trying to take me there. He's taking me there. I am totally dependent upon his power, his strength, not mine. I have nothing. I don't even worry about it. My security is in his power, not mine, not my ability. He said he will never cast me out. He said he will never lose me. He says, I am in his hand, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. And it doesn't matter. He said, well, you can take yourself out. Chapter and verse. Doesn't say that in the Bible. No, God says once you trust him as your Savior, he saves you, takes you to heaven, and you're going to heaven whether you like it or not. He'll never cast you out and never lose you. That's what the Bible teaches. And all these preachers that are preaching these other messages of the turn or burn and trying to get you to think that you got to change your life in order for you to be saved, that's not in the Bible. It's not in there. And trying to get people to live in fear. Yes, I would love for all of God's people to show up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night and study their Bibles and live right. I'd love for them all to do that. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that you have to, because you don't have to. You can, as a child of God, you can live like the devil and still go to heaven when you die. You can be as rebellious as you want to, and you'll still go to heaven when you die. There's nothing you can do that would ever cause God to kick you out of heaven, say you can't go because you're not good enough. There isn't anything. And I'm not going to lie to you and try to get you to live in fear that you're not going to be saved unless you do, and you've got to give so much money. No, you don't. I do what I do, and I try to do all the right that I can because I am a child of God. But I don't do it to try to be a child of God. I already am his child. I'm going to heaven when I die. And I want to serve him because of what he's done for me. I want to serve him because I don't have to serve him. The gospel is good news of how God will save you, give you eternal life, and will never cast you out and never lose you. Now, as a child of God, because I'm his child, I'm going to heaven when I die, I made up my mind years ago, I'm going to serve the Lord. And you can't stop me. And I can't stop you. You're going to do what you really want to do. I'd say this, love the Lord with all your heart and live like you please. Because if you love him with all your heart, you'll live to please him. And God will bless you for doing so. God loves us, but he hates our sin. For us to pay for that sin, eternal separation from God in hell. God loves us, wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, just as righteous as the Lord. And none of us are perfect. None of us are righteous. We're all sinners. We can't save ourselves. We can be saved by someone else, but we can't save ourselves. This hand represents Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us. Took our sins, paid for them on the cross, and came back from the dead. And says the good news is that he did it for you. He did it for the whole world. And you go to heaven on what Christ did for you.